Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Cloud Solution Innovators here on Channel 9, the show where we highlight the great work that our developers and partners are doing in building new solutions in the Microsoft Cloud. And I've got a special guest with me today. We've got Jerry from IntraLearn Software. Hey Jerry, thanks for joining today.
Oh, thanks Keith, it's nice to be here.
Yeah, sure thing. Hey, Jerry, before we get started, for those of our viewers who don't know you yet, could you just take a moment and introduce your role and title at IntraLearn?
Sure. My role is a CEO. I'm also the acting CTO and sort of the idea guy behind what our product does.
Okay, great. So you're kind of a hands-on CEO, it sounds like,
in
product development.
There'd probably be a better person to be a CEO than me, but I'm mostly a technologist, you know.
Gotcha. Well, can you tell us a little bit more about the types of solutions that IntraLearn typically focuses on? I know you've been around for quite a while now.
Yeah, I started the company back in 1994, and I had this idea when the internet was basically sort of being born back then, and there wasn't much out there. I had worked at Data General and Wang and in the whole office documentation space in both those companies and imaging. And, you know, I thought that it made sense because a lot of companies were starting to move to electronic documents and images and whatnot, scanned images, that there was no reason why they also couldn't do it for their education. So when I formed the company, it took a couple of years for us to get our first product out. That was back in late 97. And so since we've been focusing on this whole e-learning space, although it wasn't called that way back then. And we're pretty much one of the pioneers in that space. And we've been sort of following Microsoft right from the beginning. We were, I think, if I'm not mistaken, the second Microsoft Gold ISV.
With a little bit
of Microsoft's help, because they had just begun to figure out what that meant to be an ISV. That was fun. You know, it was a lot of fun working with the Microsoft people during that process. And so we've been a Microsoft ISV since then, mostly gold until a couple of years ago, which we did silver when there was this change of how the program worked. But so we've established ourselves as, you know, using a tremendous amount of Microsoft technology and infrastructure products from the beginning.
Okay, great. And so you've got an e-learning background for the solutions that you provided. And I think before our show today, we were talking a little bit about one of your new offerings, NanoLearn.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit more about NanoLearn?
Sure. NanoLearn was born out of the idea that a lot of organizations, especially recently in the past couple of years, are re-looking at the way they sort of deliver knowledge to people. In the form of learning, and we had quite a bit of technology in our current product that we didn't really understand that our customers were using. So we decided it was time again to sort of survey and ask our customers how they were using our product. And because we already ran on Microsoft SharePoint, we used Microsoft SharePoint as our e-learning document management portion of our system. We found that most people, and because they were using our SharePoint add-on, they were putting a lot of content into SharePoint that was not using a course metaphor. It was just documents, PowerPoints, even some videos, policies and procedures kinds of things. They were small bits of information, and they were still using our big LMS product to deliver it because we had the ability within there to have them just have one piece of information like that. You didn't have to build out a whole course. But you could add to that something like an exam or some sort of validation check that the person actually understood the information, or have them go out to some sort of a social communication that it might happen, like we had built-in chat and other forms, IM, the notion of being able to go back and forth between the instructor or the user in a variety of ways. So what we did was we took that knowledge that we gained from those customers and we created this brand new product called NanoLearn, built it from the ground up, because we used what we had more as a prototype from that knowledge that the customers gave us, and using what we had for existing technology as a prototype, rebuilt the whole thing to be, you know, purely tied into SharePoint, and with the idea that we would need to work in all the possible implementations that SharePoint and Microsoft has come up with, you know, on-premise, private cloud, public cloud, and software as a service. So we needed to make sure that it worked all that way in all those different environments.
Gotcha. Well, that sounds like a great solution for helping to address the evolving learning needs of kind of the new generation of workers that are entering the workforce now, where it's more social, more just-in-time type learning.
Exactly. I mean, we're seeing that, you know, technologists, of course, are like that anyways. You know,
sure.
When I want to find something, you know, hate to say it this way, but I Google it, right?
And, or Bing it.
or YouTube it, or Bing it, you know, right. Depending on where I am, what I'm doing.
Sure.
I'm looking for one piece of information, and I want to move on, you know. Let me look at something for 10, 15 seconds at the most, and I move on. And because, you know, the millennial generation that grew up with technology like that, they're more used to that, and that's what they expect. And so sort of the e-learning metaphor of courses is not very appealing to them. So they're looking for something that quickly gets them what they want, but they still want credit for it. They still want it, somebody knowing that they actually understood something. And, you know, it benefits the organization to know that too. So you kind of know who your experts are, you know who are the people that like to share or contribute or even just consume that information. And you can do things like reward people, you know, depending on what they're doing. So that was the whole metaphor we built it around, was that technologists and the millennials that were used to using, like you said, all those different ways of, you know, acquiring information that people are used to today.
Yeah, definitely. And now you had mentioned that NanoLearn, like many of your other products, are built on the SharePoint solution as a foundation. When you began developing your e-learning and social learning software solutions, what attracted you most to building on top of SharePoint versus developing your own stack?
Well, back in the around the 2003 timeframe when Microsoft SharePoint first came out, a lot of the learning management systems were coming out with their own content repositories and their own it's called a learning content management system. Okay, so you build into your learning management system your own private content repository that you can draw from. We never liked that idea. I never liked that idea. I thought Microsoft would have something that would work, and they came out with that right around the same time everybody else was trying to build these repositories. And that was when we first started looking at it. We 2003, that product didn't have the feature set that we needed, but we started using SharePoint 2007. And then fully embraced it with 2010. And now, of course, 2013.
Sure. Yeah, and there's a variety of ways nowadays that organizations can run 2013. And you had mentioned being able to support on-prem and Office 365. And then I guess, you know, organizations could also run SharePoint up in Azure as well. Do you support that kind of scenario, running SharePoint in Azure with your solution on top of it?
Yeah, what happened was we got invited into the VIP program, VIPP program. And one of the reasons that Microsoft looked at us is because we had already made the statement that we were going to run in all these different environments. But we weren't quite there yet on Office 365. it's a different environment. Then you can't build your software exactly as you might as if it was on-premise or at a private cloud. There's, you know, lots of other different kinds of considerations you have to have.
Sure.
Certainly authentication, for instance, is one of them. And so we got some great help from Microsoft around how to construct our product so it would work in all those different environments. So we have customers that, you know, historically have been on-prem. But in the last 3-4 years, we've seen some people begin to think about maybe using SharePoint or Office 365 in a hybrid model.
Yeah.
So hybrid model seems to be the model that this mid-sized to larger type organization seems to be embracing the most, especially the industries we serve, because the industries that need the kind of capabilities that NanoLearn has are those that are like more mandated kind of industries where you really need the company. Although there's a direct benefit to knowing what your employees do, sometimes you have to do it by law. And so those are the ones that were sort of, you know, it's a low-hanging fruit, you know.
Sure.
And so the industries were, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, insurance type industries, financial space, real estate, those kind of spaces where there's sort of the need, you know, sort of mandated by either law or by, you know, the intrinsic value that's associated. Even Microsoft, there's no mandate there, but who doesn't want to be a Microsoft MVP, you know, if you're a technologist? And so so that's where we focus. We focus on those kind of spaces where it's already required. It makes it easier for us. And so what we saw was this need to have that hybrid implementation, to have the same on-premise and a full, you know, software as a service implementation. So the hybrid can include SharePoint to on-prem or on-prem out to Azure services, you know, websites, SQL, Azure SQL, for instance. People are beginning to think about that because it seems more secure to them. And so you have these combinations that, you know, you have to address. And then the full software as a service model where everything is in the cloud. So that was probably our biggest challenge, is making sure that the Office 365 was able to connect using Azure as, you know, the website portion of Azure or any place on Azure for your, we build what's called a provider hosted app. So that part of our app sits out in Azure. But then you also say, okay, where's your database going to go? So you don't necessarily want the customer to have to put their own database, because we do require a database. So we're also using Azure SQL.
Gotcha.
So it's a kind of a tricky implementation, but it all works. And we're quite pleased with the results of that. And so we think that, you know, once we, we're testing it right now, so it's in that late stage testing. And we think that it's going to be, you know, quite successful, because there seems to be this pent-up demand for this smaller to mid-size, mid-market companies that, you know, that 250 to 5,000 seat range seems to be more open to that kind of implementation for these kinds of products than the other parts of the market, for us anyways. And so, you know, it's quite intriguing to have to be able to deliver a solution that works whatever the customer has.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like it gives a lot of deployment flexibility to your customers to be able to move in the direction that they're most comfortable with in terms of cloud adoption. Yeah,
exactly. And, you know, of course, with Microsoft, you know, the new cloud first, mobile first, too, you have to think about mobile also.
Sure.
And so we wanted to make sure our product also worked on mobile devices. And initially, we worked just, you know, scaling the website, you know, like a lot of people are doing. But now we're focused on, Microsoft has given us the tools and access to tools that now give us the ability to create apps for, you know, iOS, for Android, and, you know, Windows 8 phones. So it'll be even more powerful, because now that gives that person that loves to just look at their phone and get the information they want, gives them the ability to just, you know, even get that information faster and still get credit for it.
Yeah, that's great.
That's really intriguing for those millennials, because, you know, I have 3 millennial children, so all over 21, so 21 to 30. So, you know, I kind of know what it's like. I know what they want and how they operate. And so that's an advantage.
Yeah. You have a built-in beta test group in your family. That's great.
Well, not even for my own product. Just personal communications is... you know, five, 6 times a day, and it's like, you know, I didn't even talk to them that much when they were home, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Well, hey, Jerry, I'm really excited. I'm sure our viewers are, too, to see a bit more about NanoLearn and how it works. Would you be able to step us through a quick demo of NanoLearn?
Sure. Keith, this is a quick slide on NanoLearn that I thought I'd bring up and show you. It's got a variety of different capabilities to it. It does knowledge management and verification of knowledge, includes performance management, and social learning, and so a user gets access to all these capabilities that are inside the product, and it does things like, you know, handles, you know, compliance kind of issues that you might have internalized, and in the art world it's called curating, but it gives you the ability to curate all your information that somebody might need. And of course you can do all kinds of reporting and acknowledgement that people know information, and give them credit and reward systems, and validate that they actually know the information.
Wow, that's great. So it's all integrated. Wow. And a lot of solutions I've seen, these separate pieces are completely separate systems or modules, but when an organization buys NanoLearn, they get all of these capabilities. Is that right?
That's correct, because we're able to layer on top of SharePoint, which you know already has some of this stuff, and we're just layering on top of that and sort of enhancing what's in SharePoint. Keith, I just wanted to do a quick demo also. What you're looking at now is sort of the what we call the consumer side of NanoLearn. You can tell this is a pretty simple-looking SharePoint site and with a single web part. The implementation that I'm showing you is that hybrid model. So this is our demo site that's up on our own cloud server, SharePoint cloud server, but we're connected over to Azure website and Azure SQL for the database. So this is one of those classic implementations. So very simply, it looks similar to a Microsoft list that you'd see in a normal web part, SharePoint mm-hmm. list. And these are just items that sort of are available for this user to look at. Okay, so what I'm going to do is simply click on one of these documents that are in my list, and it's going to, right inside the window, if that's how you have SharePoint set up, here's a document that's used in the pharmaceutical space that's distributed by the government called CFR 2111. And so they get to present these documents, from outside sources, inside sources, in a common look and feel interface that they're useful. The user gets to say, okay, if this was helpful or not. And then once they look at it, there may also be some sort of interaction or some sort of validation they're going to have to do. In this case, the person has to submit something into their company discussion group. And once they've done that, they'll get credit for it. So that's something that might be inside SharePoint. We also support things like Yammer, integrated Yammer conversations. So there may also be a Yammer conversation that might be going on, and you want various people to look at it and make sure they understand it or even contribute. They can do that right from inside that web part, never really having to log into Yammer. So they're staying right inside their environments. So that's an example of sort of another Microsoft integration.
Yeah, that's nice.
And you can also do things like maybe go out to a website that you want people to look at. This is FDA website. So you can see, you can utilize information that's out on the web some way, in whatever collaboration system you're using, whatever information you might have in SharePoint. So that's a quick view of sort of what a consumer of the information might look like.
Okay.
Let me just give you another quick view of what a contributor might do. They're going to be presented with a variety of options to choose from depending on what their role might be. The person that's logged in right now happens to be me as an administrator. I have access to all the functionality. You can see all those tiles that are there representing. If you had a different role, the only time I see this is if I'm an administrator, but let's say you're just a contributor, you would have a different set of tiles
that
show up. And basically what you're going to do is you're going to say, what do you want to share? What are you trying to get? So if it's a piece of SharePoint content, I'd go out to the SharePoint site, grab something out of SharePoint. If it's a URL, something out on a website, or if it's an embedded piece of content that has intelligence associated with it. So for instance, YouTube, Facebook, Yammer, all have the notion of having it be embedded, and you can exchange information during that embed. And that's how we do that. And optionally, you can choose to put in your own titles, your own descriptions. You can choose the validator that you'd like to work with, whether you want to just do maybe a little quiz or some sort of interaction like I showed you, or have a survey or even an e-signature. These are all optional. So by default, you pick an object, you pick a piece of content, and you say submit, and then you decide who you're going to share it with. So it's really simple. If I want, I can... Are built into that interface that I'm showing you. You could add it to a category. You can give it arbitrary points that depends on your organization. And then you can use that to sort of collect points and see maybe what a user has done already in the past. And you can use that as a reward system.
Oh, okay. Sort of like a learning leaderboard type of approach.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Cool. If you look at websites that are out there now, some of them, even Microsoft does this to some degree, is you can go collect points for making contributions out in discussion boards, for instance.
Right.
And so based on those points, you get certain credibility and, some sort of identification of where you might, have value to the organization. So I'm not going to get into a whole lot of details in these things because it would take too long to demo. But I think it's pretty easy to see that it's real easy to use, you know, real easy to, you know, go find people that you want to send this to. You can choose people that are in your SharePoint group or individuals, people outside the company if you choose. That's all built in and integrated, and it's all dependent on, you know, the capability that's all built into SharePoint. So we don't have to build any of that.
That's great. And I really like the way it plugs into an existing SharePoint deployment as well, because it seems like, you know, companies are leveraging SharePoint for lots of uses of collecting information. And it seems like it's really easy to plug in NanoLearn and be able to start looking at that content that may already be organized into other document libraries or whatnot, but bring it forth from a learning perspective as well. Yeah,
exactly. I mean, it's a whole notion of this curating. You go into a museum or a gallery, you know, they'll have curated possibly even collections of art from a variety of different sources, but it has this common theme, and you can do that same thing with knowledge and with information. And so, you know, unlike a classic learning management system where you sort of have to put stuff into a course metaphor, we use this, you know, collection metaphor of information. So it could be one piece of information to one person, it could be a collection of information to one person, or a collection of information to a variety of people, and anything in between. So that's the basic idea, and that's the demo. Like I said, if I had a lot more time, I'd be happy to give people demos and show people much more depth, you know, of what it can do. But this is the very simple implementation that if all you wanted to do was share information, that's all you'd have to do.
Well, Jerry, thanks so much for sharing that demo. I'm really excited to begin trying NanoLearn out myself in my own environment. So that was great. Where can our viewers go if they want to learn more information about NanoLearn or take a few more steps towards getting started with it?
Sure. Well, they can go to nanolearn.com, NanoLearn.com, or intralearn.com, which takes you to the same our website includes both of our products that we offer. Both of them, of course, tightly integrated with Microsoft. But the one we just talked about here was NanoLearn. So it's just as easy to go to nanolearn.com. And there's quite a bit of information there. And if they want, on the website is the ability to contact us. And we can set up a time to show them more if they're interested.
Oh, great. Okay. And we'll make sure to put both of those links down at the bottom of the page that all of our viewers are watching today's episode on. Well, Jerry, thanks so much for joining us today. It was a pleasure speaking with you and learning more about NanoLearn.
Thanks, Keith. I enjoyed it myself.
Great. Well, it was a pleasure having you on the show. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in today for another episode of Cloud Solution Innovators. Hope to see you next time on Channel 9, where we talk about our next round of cloud solutions. Thanks, everybody. Have a great rest of your day.